Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Wild card weekend. Well, really just that one game. At least they ended on a big splash. The Commanders beating the Bucks at the expiration of the clock. So they advance in the NFL postseason. The rest of the games were decided pretty easily. And it's time to visit with our guy, as we always do on Mondays and Wednesdays, Matt Pauley, who's our sports fella, the host of Sports Open Line, and Countdown to Opening Day. By the way, Sports Open Line tonight at 6 o'clock. It goes for 1 hour. And then Countdown to Opening Day will happen on Thursday. And Matt Pauley is with us now. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good. Satisfied with the outcomes over the weekend?
Yeah. I kind of went the way I expected it to go. I didn't think there were going to be many good games. I thought that Sunday nighter between Washington and Tampa Bay had the chance to be the best game, and it was. The other game that I thought was kind of up in the air was Texans-Chargers, and the Texans won that game at home. I didn't think they were great games on paper, and I kind of got that one right, but it was an enjoyable weekend. I mean, very watchable.
I thought Baltimore-Pittsburgh would have been better. I thought it was going to be a better game, but I would agree with you for the most part.
Pittsburgh kind of got they were down what to 2 touchdowns, and they were driving a little bit, and if they would have scored, then all of a sudden that looks interesting. So I think that game, yeah, Pittsburgh was terrible in the first half. I mean, it looked like they didn't even want to be there. So I think that game was maybe a little bit closer than the score would indicate because of where they were at one point in the second half. So
tonight, it is the Rams. They are hosting the Vikings, but because of the wildfires in California, the game has been moved, and here's the irony, it's been moved to State Farm, the State Farm building in Arizona, where the Cardinals play, and of course, State Farm has canceled a bunch of fire insurance for people in Los Angeles. Now they're going to get a bunch of free advertising tonight. So, Rams-Vikings, what do you think of this one?
I lean Vikings. This, to me, was the second best game of the weekend on paper after Washington-Tampa Bay. I just have a hard time completely buying in on Sam Darnold because we watched him so long be terrible before he was a Viking. So that's what keeps popping up in my head. But the Vikings are really good, and they've been really good all year long. The Rams have been very, very good throughout the second half of the season. I think that's something that's been kind of lost on just how good of a team the Rams turned into as the season went along. So I kind of lean Vikings on this one, but it's not. I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams end up winning.
Yeah, here's what's funny about the Vikings. They're a lot better than I thought they were going to be, certainly by the from the beginning of the season until now. But even 4 or 5 games in, I really had this feeling that it was fool's gold, that they weren't as good as a 14-win team, but they've proven me wrong.
Yeah. Being that division was so, so good as well.
Yeah.
With obviously, Detroit's legit good. And
everybody
Green
but
Bay's
you know
bad.
Who. Right.
Right. Look, they just kept winning games, and they win games when they matched up against good teams, and they had an easy schedule. Let's not run away from it. I mean, their schedule was kind of a pud schedule as it went along, but they beat the teams that were on the schedule.
All right, Matt Pauley, it is the winter. It's cold. Mm-hmm. It snowed, but we do have some Cardinals-specific activities coming up. We're going to talk to Martin Coco with the Cardinals organization about the Cardinals caravan coming up. Winter mm-hmm. warm-up is coming up this month, so there's a lot of baseball-related stuff that's happening. For you, you'll be part of the caravan, right?
Yeah, so I'll do warm-up on Saturday where we'll broadcast, I think it's 10 to 1:15-ish or to 9 to 1:15, somewhere in there. And then I'll do on stage, something with Daniel Descalso and John Jay. And then on Sunday and Monday, I am headed to Paducah and Marion and Evansville and Cape Girardeau.
Wow.
For people who haven't been, to the Cardinals caravan before? What should they expect? What is it like?
Yeah, so the caravan, it's we roll into a city. We've got a handful of current players, handful of former players. We do a program for about an hour where there's question and answers for the players and everybody. And then for kids that are there, they get to do autographs. So we give out, I think it's kids 15 and under, get an autograph ticket when they walk in, and then they get to meet all the players and do autographs. So it's kind of for folks that are fairly long drive from St. Louis. It's kind of taking winter warm-up to people in all these great cities across the Cardinal Nation footprint.
So as the winter happens here and we're getting closer and closer to spring training, there's one major player that people are paying attention to right now, and that's Roki Sasaki from Japan, who's going to end up in Major League Baseball somewhere. The Padres are considered a favorite for him, the Giants too. I know the Cubs are up there. What do you think ends up happening with him?
Yeah, the Padres are the favorite. I don't know enough about the situation to have any reason to have an opinion other than that. I do know the reason I didn't think the Cardinals had much of a chance. The Cardinals don't have a great reputation right now in terms of developing pitching. That's something that they are going to try to do under Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio and everybody. Not that they haven't been trying to do it recently. They just kind of lost their way. So right now is probably not the – if you're a pitcher coming in from overseas and your number one goal is to walk into an organization that has a reputation for making pitchers the best version of themselves, that's probably not the Cardinals right now. So yeah, those teams that you mentioned are probably likely the teams that he ends up on.
And I will say there was a report that he met with the Blue Jays last week.
So okay. Yeah, it could be Toronto he ends up in. Do you think, like, what you're talking about, Matt, is more important to free agents or whoever is, you know, whoever's any player deciding where they're going to go play next, and the Cardinals might be reaching out, is that more important, them developing or their ability to develop pitchers, more than what the money would be?
No. But it's the second most important thing. If I can, for most players, not every player, but for most player, hey, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars and you're going to walk into an organization that's known for being able to develop pitching, or I'm going to give you even more money, but we're not quite as good at that. I still think the vast majority of players are going to go for the money. Not everybody, but the vast majority.
Yeah, there was also a former Cardinal, by the way. I don't think we got a chance to talk about this, but Andrew Kittredge had he's ended up with the Baltimore Orioles. And so as we look at the Cardinal,
got $10 million.
Yeah, $10 million bucks. Wow. Yeah, 1 year deal.
Good for him.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the Cardinals bullpen right now. That was expected to be a strength last year. It was all right. Ryan Helsley was fantastic, and it looks like he will be with the team when the season starts, unless something changes. But let's just look at the bullpen specifically. How does it look to you going in?
Yeah, I think they have the pieces for it still to be a pretty strong bullpen, and you're relying on some guys to go into roles that they haven't totally been in before. Ryan Fernandez has to step into a 7-8-9 role like Andrew Kittredge was in last year. Matthew Liberatore, who looked really, really good as a relief pitcher, he's got to be able to handle those high leverage innings. So you've got Helsley and Romero. You don't want to overwork Romero. I think that's something the organization probably learned a little bit last year. Romero, midway through the season, kind of lost his effectiveness, and I think it was connected to usage. They just ran him out time after time after time. So in a perfect world, they would not be doing that. And when we talked to John Mozeliak on the Countdown show this past Thursday, he admits that, you know, things are kind of being held up by the Nolan Arenado situation, but he also said that they would like to add to the bullpen. So I think that's still an area where there's probably going to be a veteran arm that's brought in at some point in time.
Matt, the Blues play tomorrow night. They're taking on the Calgary Flames. How do you like how they've been looking so far? I know a couple of hiccups in the road.
Yeah, so it's the inconsistencies are there, right? Yeah. Like they had that game against the Ducks where they score 6 goals and they look fantastic, and then they come out the next game against Columbus and they just don't look good. And Jim Montgomery said after that game that, you know, he was kind of frustrated with himself that he has not yet been able to get this team to be able to lift themselves to a point where they are, you know, locked and loaded on an every single game basis. And unfortunately, this is kind of the talking points that we've had under Drew Bannister and under Craig Berube. So I think Montgomery's the guy to do it. I have 100% faith in Jim Montgomery, but it is notable when some of the issues that existed pre-Montgomery that Montgomery is supposed to kind of fix when those issues pop up. But like we've always said, this is a core group of guys that got a couple coaches fired. So at some point, you look at the players.
All right. Looking at the players, I mean, I know who the captain is, Braden Schenn. However, who do you think the leader is on that team? Or the leaders?
I mean, first off, it's Binnington, but he's in goal, so he, like, that's different. That's a completely different situation. I don't know. That's an interesting question because like you want your best players to be the leaders of a team, and you know the best goal scorer on the team is obviously a Jordan Kyrou, and I don't think anybody sits there and says that this is a guy who's a big time leader or anything. He's still figuring out. I think you look at Robert Thomas and he you know he's an all-star caliber player that is that's you know maybe that's where I would go with this, but I don't know. It's an interesting question that you ask, and you know, Schenn is the guy that you look to first and foremost because of the letter on his chest.
Shouldn't Parayko kind of be?
That's
you know, like
right.
He's been here a long time.
The veterans, right? And Matt, like this was a question we had Tamar Scher on last week from KMOV, kind of discussing this. Where my first thought is, I think it's Binnington, but as you bring up, that there's complications with that. That's not exactly how leadership works in the locker room. When you're the goalie, you want it to be Schenn. He's almost like a really good assistant leader, which I'm not trying to downgrade his leadership. I'm just the vibe, and I am not in the locker room every day like I was in 2019. So it's very different, but I'm not able to point a finger and say unequivocally it's that guy.
Yeah, I think Schenn is the really good lead by example guy. He's going to be the first guy on the ice, first, you know, last guy off, all those stupid sports cliches that we mention all the time. Like, he is great at that. Does he have the character? Is it in his character? And like you, I'm not in, it's not like the Cardinals with me where I'm in the clubhouse every single day. I'm talking about this from a little bit of a distance, but I don't get the sense that Schenn is the guy who's going to call somebody out in the locker room, hold the closed door meeting, like all those, you know, again, sports cliche type things that you want leaders to do.
Tonight, it is the Billikens Coaches Show right after your Sports Open line, which gets started at 6 o'clock. Coaches Show will happen at 7. Billikens have a big game coming up tomorrow.
Huge.
They beat St. Bonaventure, which was a huge win for them. They're looking a whole lot better now than they did at the start of the season. They're healthier now. So looking at tomorrow's game against VCU, just how big is this one?
It shows us how legit SLU actually is. And with all due respect to St. Bonaventure, and I'm well aware of the fact that VCU did beat, or St. Bonaventure did beat VCU at St. Bonaventure, when you look at these two teams, when you look at the resumes, when you look at everything, VCU is a better team. So VCU, I think, is better than St. Bonaventure, and you're going on to the road. Historically, one of the toughest places to play in the A-10, and a place where the Billikens just simply do not win basketball games. They don't go to VCU and win. So if they can find a way to take this one, I think we can really start looking at the Billikens very differently as being a legit top of the A-10 type team.
Well, really, at this point, I mean, you can almost, except for an at-large bid, the road for
they're
that might be
at large.
That's now tougher because of what happened at the beginning of the season, but in the conference, you know, if you do well in this conference, you win that conference tournament, and if they're better than everybody else, or if they end up being better than everybody else, it's a legit tournament team. So I don't know. I guess we're hoping. You wish they had a better start, but this is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you still look at the league, and there's good teams in the league. Dayton's always a really good team, and VCU's right there as well. So we'll see. But this is a great opportunity. Go win a basketball game on the road.
All right, pal, Sports Open line tonight at 6 o'clock here on KMOX. Matt Pauly will be hosting, leading into the Bills Coaches Show at 7. Thanks, pal. Talk to you Wednesday.
All right.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
That is a big game tomorrow night against VCU, and you can listen to that game
mm-hmm. right here on KMOX. Amy Marks-Kors is getting very, very nervous because they are about to take TikTok away from her. She's got a big brand
on TikTok. You're going to take it away from me. Take it away from me before I even get it.
I'll tell you what's happening with that app, the hugely popular app.
Huge.
With the children's. We'll talk about that next on KMOX.